We're speaking with Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association, and we're going to talk a little bit about President Obama and his vision of the U.S. energy future. Earlier this week, Bob sent a letter from the Renewable Fuels Association to the Obama administration about what you're looking for in achieving biofuels targets for the country. Tell us a little bit about that, Bob.
Well, the president is going to be laying out his vision for energy policy as we move into the future, and I think that's great. I think it's well timed. All the energy issues that are in the news today, and as he does so, I certainly hope that he lays out a vision for ethanol as being a part of our energy future. I mean, when you do contemplate what's going on in energy today, you have to reflect on the fact that, you know, ethanol is not radioactive, right? Ethanol doesn't require a blowout protector valve. It's not going to damage the ecology in the Gulf Coast. Ethanol doesn't even need a no-fly zone. And yet it seems that when you talk about energy, the only energy that's really under attack today is ethanol. And I hope that the president puts some of that behind us, lays out a vision that builds upon the success that is the U.S. ethanol industry today, the fact that we are saving consumers as much as a dime a gallon on gasoline, the fact that our industry is responsible for some 400,000 jobs across the country. We are revitalizing rural communities. And I think we can do far more.
How is the ethanol industry working with Congress on the issue of tax incentives and that kind of thing, and how we can change from the current policy as we move down the road?
Well, our industry, unlike any other in the energy sector, the ethanol industry has stepped up to the plate and said, look, we're willing to reform our tax incentives so that we can reduce cost, but still allow the industry to continue to grow and evolve. I think, you know, future policy needs to recognize that if the ethanol industry is ever going to move beyond 10% blends, we're going to need more vehicles, we're going to need more infrastructure, but we're most certainly going to need a tax regime that protects the investment that the taxpayers made in this industry, but does indeed reduce the cost to the taxpayer, and more importantly, I think, does allow the commercialization of new technologies, advanced biofuels, to move forward as well. We're going to work with the Congress on that, but you know, Cindy, as I've been saying for such a long time, I really hope that this conversation begins to address more than just the ethanol tax incentive. That's such a limiting conversation to have. I hope that we are looking more deeply at what do we want our energy future to be. And in that construct, I hope we're looking at all energy tax incentives. Do we still need to be subsidizing petroleum, for example? How can we commercialize new technologies? How can we move this country finally and firmly beyond petroleum? And biofuels has got to be a big part of that.
Now, part of that strategy is also we've recently seen the EPA approve sales of E15 in the use of some cars and in the use of newer vehicles. They're putting out some of their regulations, this hasn't been implemented yet, but they're in the process of doing that. Where are we at as far as implementing that is concerned?
Well, we're all dotting I's and crossing T's. You're absolutely right that the EPA, while it has allowed E15 for use in 2001 in newer vehicles, about 60% of the vehicle fleet, they've not yet implemented the regulations to allow the commercialization of that new product for consumers. They need to finalize a labeling rule. They need to allow the certification for E15 to move forward, and that means coming to some judgment on the health effects testing that the industry has provided the agency already. So things are moving along, not as quickly as we would hope, but I would think that by early summer, all those I's will have been dotted, all those T's will have been crossed, and we can start to see E15 being offered for sale in the marketplace.
Another thing the administration can do is hopefully continue the use of the DOE loans and the loan guarantee program. How important is that, especially when we're looking at Congress funding this, at this point in time, how important is that for the industry?
Well, it's critically important. If the industry is going to evolve beyond existing feedstocks and existing technologies, I know because I've been to so many cellulosic ethanol and advanced ethanol demonstration facilities over the past couple of years. The technology is there. The challenge has been, how do you get a bank to invest in, or the financial community to invest in, a new technology that is going to rely upon a new feedstock and will require a new and completely different infrastructure to support. It's been difficult over the past several years to get a car loan. Imagine going to a bank and saying, give me $400 million or $500 million so I can build this commercial scale facility. What Congress had hoped was that the loan guarantee program it had put in place would be the mechanism to get beyond that valley of death, as the financial community tends to look at this, and to secure these loans. But that has not really worked. Of late, the Department of Agriculture has indeed issued three loan guarantees that I think begin to get you down the road. But the Department of Energy has only done one in biofuels and needs to do more. The Department of Agriculture hopefully is allowed to do more. And just as we're starting to see this program get going, there are voices on the Hill saying, oh, no, we got to stop, we got to save money, we got to end this program. Now's not the time to end the program. Now's the time to be doubling down the investment in these new technologies, and I hope Congress resists the temptation to try to balance the federal budget on the backs of agriculture generally and the ethanol industry specifically, and isn't penny wise and pound foolish. These are important programs that must be continued.
Well, thank you very much, Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. With this ethanol report, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.